also this year, for the first time since COVID, could provide our annual series of fall in services in person. That was amazing, just to get everyone together. And we are working on putting that series together again for the fall. We're hoping to have it at the same hotel. They've had a number of staffing changes there, so it's been a little tricky to get everything in place with them. Otherwise, quite frankly, I think we would have had the registration information ready to send out now. But as soon as those details are finalized, we will get that out to you. And then also, the Children's Services staff participated in what I'm calling a mega training program this year. The state of Connecticut has implemented a new IEP plan called CT SEDS. So the staff participated in one training on just how to get online and get into the IEPs and the 504 plans. And there were seven additional trainings. So these were all provided by the State Department of Education. And then after all of this happened, while the information was fresh in our minds, we had our own in-house workshop where we met and got together and created a goal bank. So we had an existing goal bank. It was a little dated. We knew we needed to update it. So we realized that CT SEDS provided us with the right opportunity for us to do this. So those are some of the highlights of Children's Services. And does anyone have any questions?
Of course I do.
Yay! Thanks, Eileen. I'm glad.
Well, thank you. First of all, congratulations on filling those staff positions. I'm just wondering, is there a main source where you were able to recruit, such as, Massachusetts? That would be my first question. Where did your main recruits come from?
That's a good question. All, with the exception of one of the new staff, came from UMass Boston. One of our education consultants is from Hunter College.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Next question. just roughly speaking, regarding a breakdown of students, what percentage are like Braille readers versus students who are low vision rather than legally blind, and then percentage, I mean, I'm speaking in very rough figures, of students with special needs beyond blindness.
So I could probably get you some data on that. I want to say that for children whose primary learning medium is Braille and a certified Children's Services staff, there are about 40 to 50 students. We do have some children who are secondary Braille readers. I don't know what the numbers are for the itinerant teachers. And in terms of the percentage of students who are classified as MIDI, I don't have that exact percentage. I want to say there's probably the majority of the students we serve are classified as multiply impaired. So maybe 55 to 60% of those students. And then the other students are fully mainstreamed in an academic setting.
Right, I that's how I was looking for it,
okay.
Generally. So, so low vision would be maybe
20%, 30%? You mean low vision academic students?
Yeah,
I would say that, about 30%.
Great. Two other questions.
Sure.
One of the positions you noted in your report was rehabilitation teacher. Now, could you explain that?
So that's Jessie Mabry, and she does our assistive technology training. She also does some daily living skills training, but the majority of the work she does is related to assistive technology.
Got it. Okay, last question. When you mentioned out of date, I don't really have nightmares, but I have memories about the annual education report that has to be submitted. What's the deal with that? Has that been changed over the years?
Oh my gosh, Eileen, we've changed that, I'm happy to say, a few times. So and we like to call it a work in progress. We have actually, as a result of the CT Sense training, have tweaked it a little more. We want to be in, you know, we straddle two sides of the fence here. We need to be in alignment with what we need to do here at BSBE, but we also want to be in alignment with CT Sense and what the public schools need. So it's a nice mix up of the two, but it is a work in progress always, because we want to make sure that it is a useful document for everyone who reads it and needs it.
Well, congratulations, and especially addressing the needs, the paperwork, the new IEP stuff and all that. Great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Eileen. Yeah, and it was, we got through CT Sense, that's what we tell ourselves. And I think, I'm going to say too, I think we're the only educational group in Connecticut that is not complaining about CT Sense. And I think it's because so many of us went through the MAVEN process. If you remember when we were trying to revamp our database and the way we collected information here. So because we went through it, we could relate to the State Department of Ed, and we haven't complained at all. We're pretty happy. So thanks, Eileen.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, this is Stephen. Congratulations. I'm curious, are you noticing anything new with the students that you're getting now as opposed to, say, 5 years ago in terms of their abilities and skills?
No, just that we have an uptick in referrals, and I think it's because, this is my guess, I think that people, in particular, parents of very young children, babies in particular, were reluctant to approach BSBE during COVID or go to the eye doctor and, you know, get a diagnosis that would qualify them for BSBE. I think people were very concerned about health and safety. So we are seeing an uptick in the referrals, and especially in the young student population. But in terms of ocular impairments or brain-based impairments, I think that we're pretty status quo, actually. Maybe a slight uptick in kids with CBI, but otherwise, I think everything is pretty much the same.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Catherine? Hearing none, thank you for an excellent and comprehensive report, Catherine, as always.
You're welcome.
Let's move on. The next two items are coronavirus updates and the budget update. Carol, I'm going to give you the floor for both of them.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the first one? What was before budget?
COVID. Before budget. Coronavirus updates protocols.
Sorry. I get monthly emails from the governor's office directly on COVID numbers and, you know, if there's any high-risk counties in Connecticut. And since our last meeting here of the board, I think there was only one time that we had to post mask recommendations. I mean, otherwise, we are, you know, not required to have any COVID protocols, that kind of stuff, because of high numbers or anything. So I think we're doing really well there, overall, looking at the big picture with COVID. For the budget, Chris, you know, briefly talked about the budget for children's services, adult services. For children's services, the last report that I received was we are currently looking at roughly like a $375,000 surplus, but I know Catherine and I have been working on some projects for things to help the teachers, equipment-wise, to help with teaching, you know, students in the schools and things. So that number will lessen. BEP, we're sitting at roughly $2.3 million in the account for unassigned funds, so doing really well there. VR, we just completed the RSA 17, the final report for the federal fiscal year 21, which we had carried over. So even though it's 2023, we were able to carry over those federal funds, just completed that report, and we gave back about $1 million. So we're currently using 2022 federal funds, and we're working on getting allowing those to be carried over with the federal government. And this current federal fiscal year, 2023, we are going to have a maintenance of effort penalty assessed to us. And that's just, it sounds terrible, but it's resetting our match requirements and stuff, because the government goes on what you were doing and spending 2 years ago versus what you're spending now. So when we were in COVID, you know, the previous spending was really, really high, and then COVID made it low, hence the issue. So we took the penalty because we got some reallotment dollars. We got about another $250,000 this year in reallotment for BSBE. So the penalty really isn't having a huge impact on us. So we were really strategic in when we were going to take that penalty to reset our clock for us. And I think we'll have another maintenance of effort penalty next year, but it shouldn't impact us a whole lot because we're carrying over funds and our spending is really, you know, doing well in VR. For budget, our fiscal department for ADS has been extremely short-staffed. I think there were only four of them for all of ADS. I could be wrong about that, but I think fully staffed is, I don't know, 10 people, 12 people. So they were working very hard just to get bills paid and stuff for ADS. But fiscal did hire, I don't know if it was last week before, two new fiscal staff. So BSBE now has an assigned fiscal staff person. Her name is Minerva Cisco. So I'm really excited. So once she is, you know, she has a lot of training and stuff. She has great state experience. So once training and stuff, Minerva and I are going to start meeting once a month starting in May, and have monthly budget meetings so she and I can get a better grasp on the budget, our spending, and our service delivery process. Questions?
Any questions for Carol? Steve, go ahead.
Just one quick one you may be able to. If the staff is visiting clients, how do they know if they have COVID or not? Do they wear masks when they go into the individual homes or nursing homes?
They are not required to. And as far as staff going into other facilities, it's if that facility has any requirements. And Andrew can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in Connecticut, the only places that have requirements are like your doctor's office, maybe dental office, those kind of things. Otherwise, there aren't any mask mandates. And so we always encourage everyone to be safe, make good choices, and you know, if you're sick or the client's sick, please communicate that and reschedule an appointment or do it virtually. But yeah, we got to be pretty cautious when we just go and ask people, do you have COVID?
I was just curious what the general policy is. So it's left up to the individuals when they do. That's good. That's fine.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, in the minutes, we were going to discuss whether or not the COVID-19 updates have to be a part of the regular agenda. And I'm suggesting that they probably don't.
That's a good point. All right, I think we seem to be comfortable with striking them for the next meeting. Is that the general sense I get from the board? If anybody objects, now's the time to say it. All right, without objection, then we're going to drop that item from the agenda going forward. Thanks for that reminder, Riley. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Carol? Hearing none, I thank you very much for your report, Carol. And we're going to move on to the next item, which is the legislative update. Andrew, you have the floor.
Thank you. There were just a few bills introduced that dealt specifically with blindness, and none of those three bills have advanced. One was to be switching glasses, to provide health insurance for service dogs, to mandate it, I guess, and that did not move forward. Another was to allow a service dog to accompany one in an ambulance ride, and then another one was to provide penalties, monetary penalties, for someone who might be pretending that they have a service dog when they do not. There was a bill last year, but it hasn't been taken up again. The bill last year didn't pass to redefine service dogs, guide dogs, in our statutes as service animals, and maybe to make it more clear that they're distinct from emotional support. But that didn't re-arise. So those are three bills that dealt with blindness. There are a few bills dealing with deafness, but they also aren't, with one exception, advancing. One is to teach ASL in the schools. That didn't go anywhere. One is to study an issue that's very important to the deaf community, which is having interpreters available in healthcare settings. And there was a bill to have our agency study that. It hasn't progressed yet. And then there's one bill that did progress, and that was a bill mandating that ADS take on the task of providing hearing testing and hearing aids to people who are without insurance that covers that. And that bill passed. We don't know how much money that would cost, and we don't have the money. And there's a few bills that get put in that require additional expenditure. And I should say that it's always the policy of the agency, and all agencies, to oppose legislation that adds to the governor's budget that differs from the governor's budget. The governor's our boss, and when he puts forward a budget, that's then the budget that we like. Oh, and by the way, someone did ask in the community, not from the board, when we might know whether the legislature, I think there are some people hoping that the legislature may add money in some areas. The budget will probably come out roughly in 5 weeks from the Appropriations Committee. We would know then whether there are any changes made to the governor's proposed budget for ADS, which was basically a status quo budget, not a big change, not many big changes other than sort of technical moving around of dollars. So maybe in the end of April we'll know whether the legislature has chosen to change the governor's budget for ADS. So other bills that we're dealing with deal with Alzheimer's care and respite care for the people. We have a program that helps people who are caregivers for Alzheimer's sufferers, the caregivers, to give them a break, maybe a weekend off, an afternoon off. And we have a program for that. For people below a certain income, there are bills to raise those income limits and to give us more money to do that. There's a bill to requiring us, which we think would cost money because we don't have the staff to do it, to study the incidence of Alzheimer's among those with intellectual or developmental disabilities, the IDD community, which isn't, obviously we serve people with intellectual disabilities. It isn't our core mission, but they're asking us to study that issue. We'll see if the bill passes. We don't have the staff to do that. There's another bill that would have us fund money for service navigators at all the area agencies on aging. It would add $500,000. If that passed, then we would give the money to each of their five AAAs, they call them, area agencies on aging covering five regions of the state. And if that passed, then we would give them the money to do that. There's also a bill to make us hire a dementia coordinator to coordinate the services for dementia out there across state agencies. And let's see, dementia, hearing tests, and there are some bills out there that are aimed at preventing elder abuse. It might tell a stockbroker or a banker that they might be able to jump in and stop money moving in an account if they think something's weird going on. In fact, I was at our bank and they asked me why my mother gave me a check for $1,000. She wrote a check and to give me $1,000. I said, well, because I was a good boy. No, actually, I pay for something for her out of my, and she was reimbursing me. But anyways, good for them, right? They're sort of wondering, is Norton ripping off his mom? And that's something people want to do more about. Then there's another bill to study long-term care needs, and another bill to study senior needs. So those are some of the bills out there that are moving through the process. As I say, the three bills that dealt with blindness very specifically have not advanced. So I guess that's my report, and I'm open to any questions, of course.
Andrew? Has any of those bills received a public hearing?
Some of the bills that have passed, yeah. The three bills that dealt with blindness did not go so far even to have a public hearing. So, no, you didn't miss out on a public hearing. The bills didn't even mature that far.
Okay. By passed, you mean joint favorable?
Or yes.
Passed?
So,
okay.
Yeah, but those bills, those three blindness-related bills, didn't even get that far.
They never made it out of committee.
Didn't even get a hearing.
Okay, very good. Any other questions for Andrew? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Thanks for the report, Andrew, as always. Our next item is points to the good and welfare. Anybody have any points to the good and welfare that they'd like to share with the rest of us?
Yes, Eileen does.
Go ahead.
I'd like to sadly acknowledge the passing of former board member Chris Kuhl. I don't know, Al, were you on the board at the time when Chris
Kuhl was
that member?
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened?
He's
a fairly young guy. Oh, man.
Yes. So, and the other part of this is, he wrote, some people have already heard me talk about this, he wrote what I consider one of the most poignant pieces that I've ever read called I Think I Can. And I'm asking permission, if I sent that to LaTanya, if that could be attached so that all the people on the board could read this. And as we consider going further, Blind Americans Equality Day or White Cane Day, whatever you want to call it, thinking about maybe using that article as part of the observation in October. But it's a tremendous article.
How did he die?
I believe it was cancer.
Yeah, I mean, he was a transplant patient, so I know he'd been, he had things going on, medically speaking.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Wow, that's too bad, but I think that's a great idea, Eileen, and thank you for that. Do you have any other points to the good and welfare?
Yes, Stephen.
Steve, go ahead.
One, has anybody heard anything about a program that's supposed to go on at Meat Market in June? I just got a flyer quick, and no other information, just said save the date.
You're speaking about, for Steve Famiglietti, right?
No.
No?
This was supposed to be a program, I don't know if it has to do with employment or technology or whatever. I've got to see if we can find the flyer.
Huh.
The other thing is, I was offered to do a program on my radio show called Focal Point, but I haven't gotten too many people to try to come together, so Eileen, if you can help me with Andrea.
I'll try again.
Yeah, you know, because we're trying to put something together. We have some thoughts about how to put it together, but I don't want to move forward or only that I only there's small information that I have like Steve. Okay, thank you.
Any other points to the good welfare? Thanks, Steve. Hearing none, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Mary Silverberg, I'll second the motion.
We stand adjourned until our next meeting, which will be in June, I believe, on the 16th. corrected on that. But enjoy the upcoming spring, and we look forward to seeing you all in the summertime. Thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Stay healthy.